All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, all present and accounted for. Hopefully you are about to file in and roll call yourself. Let us know that you are already listening. It is The Usual Suspects. On a Way Back Wednesday, that means that today's topic would be, and is, songs colors. With color.
Colors.
Well, we know what that is.
Now you sound more excited about it than yesterday, because yesterday you weren't really happy with the theme, Barry.
I didn't have a problem with the theme. I was just fine with it.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. I just wanted to be very clear about the rules. You guys know I'm a stickler for the rules. By the way, roll calling yourself sounds like a euphemism for masturbation.
Hey, you're always doing that. You're always making everything sexual. You're always twisting my words.
It's my job.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's right. As the reactor, that's my job.
My bad, Ramalama. My bad.
All right. I knew that was coming.
Oh, Ramalama ding-donged it.
How long did that take? How long did that take? A minute?
60 seconds. Yeah, a little over 60 seconds.
Great.
I held it as long as I could.
That was actually impressive that you kept it in for 60
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah, you and the Hoff had a little fun last night.
Oh, man. I don't want to do 6 hours every day. I'm not going to lie. That's too much talking even for me.
Yeah, I was wondering. Did you feel like you were wearing out near the end?
You know, it's so funny because I was telling my wife, it's amazing how you bitch about stuff. When I was in IT, there were times when I would work 36 straight hours. So I would go into work at like 8 in the morning and I wouldn't leave until 8 at night the following day because everything's messed up and you can't leave. It's costing the company millions of dollars for every hour that it's down. So I would work 36 hours in a row.
That's insane.
No sleep, no
that
going home, no
bad.
Shower, no nothing. And it was rare, but you would do that. And then I come in here and I have to sit and talk on the radio for 6 hours. And I'm like, I'm tired. I was like, what am I bitching about? That's stupid. But yeah, it was, I'm just not used to that. I mean, you get into a rhythm, you get into a schedule. I'm used to being home by 5 o'clock, eating, pooping. I didn't get to do any of that before 7 p.m. So
I thought about it. Then
weird.
You had, you know, you got a haul home too.
Yeah.
That really does dent your day.
Took
your
the wife
evening.
Out for dinner. So yeah,
there you go.
It was an eventful day. It was fun though. I mean, you know, get to do this show, then get to do that show and get to talk and have fun with you guys. So I ain't
you kept
bitching.
It in the top two all day. So way to go.
That's right.
I didn't realize though that the big bully on campus, we got to check with him before we use names for our show too, because you know I didn't realize I had to pass it by the principal if I could call our show the big show. I'm calling it whatever the
did
damn
you,
well hell I,
I
want
didn't hear
to.
That part
did you hear
the first segment?
There was so much I just was like, man, tomorrow is going to be insane because Joel's gonna be like, ah, there was this.
How many times did he mention Joel?
Oh, geez, a
you
lot.
Know, you know how AJ is. I
give you credit. You called him out, and you had him dead spot on.
I did.
Too.
I called him a bully. I said he bullies people, and he's mean to people when maybe they're not ready for it.
Or we just don't like it because we get sick of it because we don't do it to him. But then he went off. He's like, doesn't Joel call it the big show? Well, what about our show? No one checked with me. Well, gosh darn it, I didn't know I had to have a permission slip.
But my favorite is I think I'm trapped. I feel like my parents got divorced when I was 6, and I'm going through that again. I've got my cohort, my partner.
Did you co what?
My cohort.
Oh, okay.
My partner.
Easy now.
Yeah. Joel. And then I got my buddy, my friend, and also coworker AJ, and they're fighting. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, please don't make me choose.
We're not really. Everybody thinks we're fighting. It's like Lamont on Twitter one day thought AJ and I were going to have to duke it out or something like that. It's like we're grown men. You said it, a couple weeks ago. Where at this age, we're not looking to fight. But there's certain
Lamont's
times
just
when you
a troll.
Yeah, you got that right.
The best part of it all is yesterday AJ did Joel's impression of Joel doing AJ.
Yes.
And now we're just into this weird inception.
Yeah.
And I missed a lot of the
making
show.
Fun of each other. Oh, yeah.
He did that. I have no internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
I tuned in when he was giving you crap about all the vacation you took, kind of like you two taking vacation tomorrow.
Nope.
Wait, us two taking vacation? Yep. We were told that we don't have to work.
Shh, y'all could show up and do something.
We could.
What would you have me show up and do now?
I have no idea.
Well, you can't just throw that out there. Like,
is that because you're showing up to work tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm a little mad about that.
I'm pretty sure that had something to do
with it. I got to run the Texas A&M game. Boy, I hope they lose tomorrow.
Special shout-out to Houston and the Knicks tomorrow.
Because if they win, we're off the air for 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to work, huh?
I'm going to ask Jong to find something for you two to do. Maybe like a production meeting. How about a three-hour production meeting from 1 to 4?
Network.
You guys are talking at the same time. It's confusing me.
People hear it. People understand.
No, they don't.
Yes, they can.
So you have to work. You have to run the board.
I do.
That's ridiculous.
They can't just get an intern and let them do it.
I don't
it.
Mind. Honestly, if I stayed home, I wouldn't be. I'd
be
rather
high.
Come
you'd be so high and drunk and
why you gotta,
full of food.
Why you putting my business in the street?
I'm just saying.
You'd be dry blowing.
Put my business in the street.
Just saying. You'd be
by
so
the end of the day.
Dry blowing.
Be, man.
I'm tanked out and tuckered out.
What is that?
You know when you would. We talked about the one day.
I totally forget.
When you take care of yourself enough, there ain't nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all good.
That's probably going to be
here
tomorrow.
Working.
I'll be drunk by noon. Don't. Actually, I won't even be up
text
by noon.
Text us if you need to vent. Don't text us if you need something. Just text us if you need to vent about what's going on.
Yeah. That sucks, dude, that you have to work.
That is bad. I thought you were off, too.
I really don't. It doesn't even bother me. I just don't really care. I'm just not. I mean, I'm a kook. I really don't, you know.
Dave South's going to convert you.
Dave South, the voice. Isn't this his last year, though?
I want you to, it might be, but I need you to write down how many times you're thoroughly confused who had the ball and who scored.
Passes to the man. There's the shot. The man makes the basket. It's like, what? Who? Oh, what man?
They did
what
it again. Man? They did it again. They stole the ball and it went out of bounds.
Yeah,
Dave whose ball is it, Dave? No idea.
Is this going to be an Aggie broadcast or a national broadcast?
It's the Aggie broadcast.
It's an Aggie broadcast, okay. Yeah.
So, and if they win, sucks to be everybody, but if they win, that means that we have to do the same. We're off again on Friday.
I don't know who they're playing, but hopefully it's a better team.
Hey, I have a bone to pick.
Uh-oh.
It's not a big one, but last night it took the wife. We hadn't been to, do you eat James Cody Island, either of you?
I don't.
No way.
No?
Wow, that was definitive. Yeah, I haven't been there.
I've heard nasty things about that spot, man.
I used to love that place. Mm-mm. So my wife and I used to go there a lot. Go ahead, get it out.
No, I'm done.
Get it out. Get it out, Joel.
I'm just
I saw it. Go.
I'm
going to wait and let you get your penis reference euphemisms of me eating hot dogs.
So,
out.
How many wieners do you normally eat at James Coney?
There you go.
I'll do it for you.
How many wieners can I put in my mouth?
Yeah.
Huh?
That was not what I was going to say, but go ahead.
No? What was it? I'm curious now. I got to know.
No.
All right. We hadn't been there in forever. It's gotten so pricey. Since when did hot dogs get so expensive?
But didn't they kind of, they souped it up now instead of James Coney Island, it's JCI?
I don't care. $2.19 for one hot dog.
Dang.
What? You can buy a pack of hot dogs and a pack of buns for less than $2.19. It ain't that good. I can get the Cheese Whiz and, I mean, we went there last night. And
not
I'm
even
thinking,
a foot long? You're just getting the regular weenie?
Yeah.
For $2.19?
Just the white guy version.
Golly.
Yeah. That is kind of pricey.
Go to the Astros game and get them for what? A buck?
Yeah.
And they have
when
the
did
promotion?
You say they moved right. that? They moved it to when?
From Wednesdays to Tuesday nights and now because they have a lot of Wednesday day games this year.
But yeah, I was kind of surprised. We hadn't been there in a very long time. And then we show up and...
Did you fry it out?
It was expensive.
Weenies what? And fries and shakes and all the good stuff? Or did you do the JCI grill?
No, I just got like two hot dogs and some fries, but it was still like we almost spent $30.
Dang, for two of you at a hot dog.
Well,
place?
And then we got the tater tots with the
chili
bacon.
Fries.
Yeah. I still don't see how it went all the way up to $30 though. God,
maybe it was 25. It was somewhere in there. I know it was more than
that's pricey.
More than $20. I was like, for hot dogs, this is insane. But we used to like it, but why? Why is it so expensive now?
Because they souped it all up and they spent all that money on that marketing and that new hip cool now name. And it used to be just a hot dog shack. Now it's the JCI Grill.
That's what it is.
It's fancy.
I did notice when we walked in, they had the Rockets on. So I was like, okay. And then I just, no, I don't want to watch it. I'll watch it when I get home, which I totally missed the first half, but I don't feel like I missed much.
You didn't miss much.
But then they had like all these screens But I'm like, it's the same regular ass hot dog. It's just a.
But they got to pay
it's
for
a hot dog on a soggy bun.
They got to pay for the screens and the new logos.
I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like the food, but man,
you guys picked it because you like the food?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's going first in Wayback Wednesday?
I am.
You are. What song is this?
311 Amber.
You are disqualified.
No, I'm not.
This is 2001.
This is like their best album. Are you kidding me?
2001.
Is it?
Yep.
You waited for me. You waited for that, you a-hole.
He set you up.
Totally set you up.
Oh, you're such an a-hole. I would have totally warned you.
I would have done the same thing.
Done. You're out.
Whatever. Maybe it was released. Maybe they made the song in 1999.
Nope. I even looked it up.
And they dropped it in 2001.
So dirty, by the way. Just a dirty move. But once again, for the second week in a row, it's down to Barry and myself already on a way back Hater. Wednesday. If you want to join the show and chime in.
I could not wait for this show to
his
start.
Face is all, he look, yeah, how, he look how much
really
he's enjoying
sitting
this.
On it, man.
I couldn't wait. I was like, please, 111, get here. Oh, God, please.
Oh, you bet your ass I'm going to check each and every one of your songs now.
111 just kiboshed 311, and with that, we're up and running.
That's great.
713-780-3776 is our HRP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick on Twitter.
All right, guys, if you want to eat healthy, you want to lose weight, I know a lot of you out there listening are in our usual suspects weight loss challenge, and you're trying to lose weight, and maybe you're already sick of meal prepping and dieting and having to take care of all that. Let HealthyGourmet.com help you. Healthy Gourmet Your Way is the name, and your way means you can customize it. They're going to make it. They're going to ship it to you. Dieting couldn't be any easier than HealthyGourmet.com. Log on today. You can customize your meal plan. You can customize your food. You can add carbs. You can take them away. They've got paleo options, vegan options, all kinds of gluten-free, low-carb, whatever it is you're looking for, you can either customize it or it's already made for you right there at HealthyGourmet.com. No prepping, no cooking, no driving. They deliver it right to your door. It's just, it's never been easier to lose weight. And the best part is the food is actually good. It tastes good. It's easy to prepare. You pop it in the microwave for 2.5 minutes. When you're done, you throw the carton away. You move on with your day. And the thing I like most about it is that it fills me up. When I'm dieting, I worry about being hungry. I don't want to be hungry while I'm on a diet. And with HealthyGourmet.com, their meals fill me up. I add a piece of fruit to my lunch and my dinner. I'm full, and I like it. I'm losing weight. I'm eating healthy, and the food is delicious. Log on today. Use promo code ESPN975. You're going to save 10% off your order. As well, if you order $99 or more, they will ship it to you for free. No commitments, no minimum orders. It couldn't be easier. Log on today. Get started losing weight at HealthyGourmet.com.
ESPN975. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, boys. Big day in sports. Not that we were assuming so, but it looks like if you're a private detective on social media, Richard Sherman, if you read between the lines of the tweets, could be playing elsewhere next year. His teammates sending cryptic messages of appreciation and possible farewell. Also news of the day, the NCAA topped $1 billion in revenue for the first time. And Barry, as you said during the break,
they're pissed off about a dude getting $400 under
or
the table.
Or $40 for a meal that they have to pay back.
Hey, you can't get a burger and fries, but I'm glad we're making billions over here.
But we're selling your jersey for $120 a pop and selling a lot of them.
That's ridiculous. If I'm a player or I'm an athlete in the NCAA and I see that and I see how much money they're making off of my talent, because that's exactly what it is.
No doubt.
I'm furious.
Like I said, I keep going back to the Fab Five. When these guys were hungry for a meal, couldn't get a pizza, couldn't do anything, and they walk by a sporting goods store where on the mannequins are the jerseys of Chris Webber, Jalen Rose, and Juwan Howard, and they're selling them for $100 a pop, mm-hmm. and the Michigan's making money hand over fist. that's not right. Something, the system is broken at that point.
I wonder if their weak-ass defense is, well, to cover all the contingencies, we can't even allow that. Man, save it. It's a meal.
Here's what I would love if the students got together across campuses and said, okay, you guys are making so much money. Guess what? We're not playing no more.
Well, that's what Jalen Rose said.
Just get together and say, okay, you know what? Just much like a union, we're walking out.
Not
we're
just students. Strike. It'd have to be specifically the student athletes, right?
Yes, student athletes.
Jalen Rose said, you know, with all the amount of money and the hype that goes into March Madness, he said, you want to make a stand? Every team that makes the tournament boycotts it.
Yep.
Watch the NCAA squirm.
That's so hard to make that decision, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a kid, it's a once-in-a-lifetime
It's an
possibly.
Opportunity. You're trying to prove yourself, and you're potentially trying to get into the NBA.
Or you're Fairfield, and you know the only way you're getting in is if you win the conference, and you have a buzzer beater to win the conference, and you get a once-in-a-lifetime shot for your kids to go to the tournament, regardless of who you play, and if you only play one game, you're in, and then you're being asked to boycott.
It's bigger than you.
It is. It's like the Olympics, you know, with boycotts of the past.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, and that would be a huge leap of faith. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it'd make a hell of a statement. Because, like I said, the other interesting thing is, okay, if you guys don't care about revenue, let's play the Final Four over at Tudor Fieldhouse on the campus of Rice University.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it an intimate Cracker Box gym where you don't worry about how many decks and suites and sponsorship opportunities. You play it for the love of the game and see how much money you lose and see if you're okay with
that. My thing is, I'm not going to be mad at a company for making money. I'm not going to be mad at an organization
right.
for making money. What I would be mad at is if that organization isn't giving the money back to the people that are actually making the money. If you're an employee and you're doing all this work, we come on here and we do this show and this station gets ratings and sells a lot of ads, but we're not getting any money, well, what the hell are we doing here?
I'll give you a better example.
It's the same thing. Why? Well, I mean, you've got these football players, these basketball players, these volleyball players, all of these people who are bringing in revenue, and they get a scholarship. That is a drop in the bucket to what they bring in a yearly basis.
And I'll, because you still got a ton of people paying for the same education and paying for books and paying for meals and paying for everything else. But I'll give you another analogy. How about a shoe company that's selling their shoes for hundreds of dollars a pair, but the people that are making them are in a sweatshop getting 35 cents an hour?
Yeah.
Yep. That's BS.
Well, to me, like your example of the jerseys.
Yep.
You know, that whole, if there's no players, there's no football team. If there's no players, there's no basketball team, and those jerseys don't sell. You got to do something, man. It's if when you see numbers like that, and then that's what really pissed me off about it today is I hear a billion, and then I see a guy getting $40 or $400, and they're losing their crap over it. Man, that makes no sense to me.
It's just like that thing where, you know, where Jerome and Granato are kind of going back and forth about too, like money cures all. The reason why I say that it's going to be hard for a college basketball student athlete to do that or a student athlete in general to do that is because they're trying to make that big paycheck. But I think when John Granato was talking about, well, would you play for a racist? Jerome was like, well, maybe money will help forgive that. And if you get a big paycheck, you might be willing to play for an owner who's a racist. And that's what it boils down to me, money. Like, they're complaining about not getting money the entire time as a student athlete. And when they finally might get the chance to, they're going to blow it by doing a protest. It's just, it's hard for me as a student athlete to put myself in that mentality.
Yeah. I get it. No one wants to be the one that does it.
It takes someone brave.
Yeah.
Someone with a lot of, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying that's extremely tough to do.
If you're a good coach, you have a discussion with your team too. Because if you're Coach K, what else do you have to prove on the floor anyway, right? And you've got the prime examples of a Bagley Jr. or, you know, guys like this that are coming out one and dones. But while they're on campus, you're selling the jersey. It's the number one selling jersey, I'm sure, on your campus and probably all over Carolina. You have at least a discussion with them saying, guys, this is what's going on. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think teams like that are in a better position to do it,
mm-hmm.
especially going into like conference play. Because is the NCAA really going to not have
conference tournaments?
Conference tournaments.
Yeah.
Is the NCAA really not going to have Duke in the field of 64? Is that really good? Because they can select whoever they want, right? There's at-large bids.
Right.
If Duke were to lose in the first round, is Duke not getting into the tournament? Yeah, they're still getting in the tournament. So if Duke boycotted and said, you know what?
So you're saying boycott the conference tournament, but yes. Don't boycott the NCAA
Correct.
Tournament.
If all the teams said, we're going to boycott and you guys can do, we'll still play the tournament, but guess what? Your conferences and these you guys aren't getting this conference money now. We're going to sit out. And then, you know, when the field of 64 comes around, you can pick and choose however you want and those teams will play. But boycott, do something to put a dent in the pocket without harming, like you guys were saying, without saying, well, we're sitting out the season. Just, you got to hit them in the pocketbook somehow. Or, and that's a way to do
you
it.
You could really mess with the system, too. Have the tournament. Take the top four teams or the teams you know are getting in, right? Take them and say they're
that's
not going to play.
Yeah. That's
and
what then, I mean. The Dukes of the world, if they sit out, even if Vanderbilt's like, well, we'll still play. Okay, well, by default, you stepped on the court. Vanderbilt wins the SEC. You're going to the tournament. Okay, but are you still going to leave out other teams that should be in the tournament? No, they're going to still put them in there. But if you sit out that conference tournament, you're making a dent, and you're making a statement at the same time without punishing the kids for not playing.
So that'll be interesting to see. I like I said, I give Jalen Rose credit. He's the first one that I saw that suggested that. But, again, the NCAA makes $1 billion last year
That's
for the
crazy.
First time.
Crazy.
So we'll kick that around. I see that Mike's on the board. He wants to get in and talk about that. We've got plenty more on the list to talk about, including National Cereal Day. What was your favorite cereal growing up as a kid? Maybe you still eat it today. But today is National Cereal Day.
Hey, Nick, do you have the song on your iPod?
No, why?
I was curious.
No, full disclosure, you know when I really heard this song first?
When
Limp Bizkit did the cover for it.
I didn't know Limp Bizkit covered this.
Yeah, then I was like, who's the original
artist? You've never heard The Who?
Artist. And I was like, oh, it's The Who. And I'm like, okay, I've heard of The Who. So, yeah.
So you thought of that song and then thought it was you know it was a cover. Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna bust your chops about, you know.
Not like you already busted him enough in the first segment?
Yeah.
Okay.
That will not go forgotten, sir.
It sucks because he's got a pretty strong.
Yeah, I told him. I gave him credit. It was a good list. He got it in the night before. It's crazy.
Sorry, man.
Or maybe this morning. Regardless, yeah.
I'm so sorry. I feel terrible. And he's really don't.
He's not. He's kicking L's at you the whole time. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Don't go anywhere. It's the first hour of The Big Show as we continue to roll right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number one, Usual Suspects. Nick can't win, but he's still playing. Got his Way Back Wednesday tunes for hour number one. Another good one. You feel good about yourself, don't you?
I'm pretty proud.
Yeah, I could see it.
There was even people on Twitter, Kirsten was like, oh my gosh, because I guess she's not listed because she can't at work. She's like, Nick totally won. He was like, I'm disqualified.
Yeah.
if his tweet had a voice, that's what it would have sounded like. I'm disqualified.
Revenge is a bitch, Barry. Just remember that.
Oh, she goes, Welcome. Oh. No, but this was made it all worth it. She goes, oh, well, then Barry won. Not only did I knock him out of contention because he would have won, she gave it to me instead.
Yeah, the crown was passed on.
Oh, that's great.
It's all good.
Welcome to our version of the DQ Blizzard.
Oh,
Nick
Cut
put in the deep freeze.
Won the battle, not the war, sir.
That's true. Yo, Adrian said whoever played Little Corvette, Little Red Corvette is the winner. No.
All I do is win,
no.
Win.
I knew it. He read that just so you could zing him again.
No, it's not true. He's not the winner because he's disqualified. So, nice try, though. Keep voting for Nick. I love it. So sweet.
Wow. Reminds me of the Celtics game against the Rockets that got screwed out of a couple of BS calls by officials.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it reminds me of.
You taste
they
that?
Got screwed.
Tastes like victory.
What am I not playing? I got
no,
a shot,
your list
too.
Sucks.
You rushed it every week.
Yeah, well, you rushed it. You thought you'd be slick and getting it in early, and you should have given it some time. Because you just did all the ones we named on the show. He was just like, I'm just going to write all these
Well,
down.
I was joking. I said I'd do it during the show, and I never did.
Yeah, I know.
And I think it preempted. It made Joel want to create his list early.
Somebody said...
Time made me want to create my list earlier.
To get it done, get it over with. Somebody texted the show early on and said, hey, guys, I created a Twitter handle, or I created a Twitter account and I need a handle. What should I call it? Well, I don't know. We don't know anything about you.
I was going to say, we have no details on you to try and help you. We came up with the producer, Nick, but it takes time.
Yeah. I mean, do you have one eye? Are you missing a tooth? I don't know. We need to know something about you in order to help you.
We had some good ones for you.
Well.
Well, y'all just made me change it. I came up with No Hit Nick, and then I changed it to The Producer Nick, remember?
Yeah, but in between, we had suggested quite a few that you...
I don't remember what it was, though.
Yeah, I don't think that was...
Of course, because you didn't come up with it, you're going to poo-poo that, too.
No, I was just saying, I don't think that was me. I think that was you and Trap that was doing that to Nick.
I think it was more than me. I think there was a lot of people that were throwing suggestions.
So I don't know. Tell us something about yourself, or send us a picture, and we can help you come up with a.
You're opening up a can right now because I don't want to be naming everybody's Twitter accounts.
But... Oh yeah, I'm totally fine with that. Send us a picture. We'll tweet it out and give you a. You may not like it.
Candidate Kurt Lowe. We're changing your Twitter handle.
At idiot. That's easy.
Oh wow! Yeah, Shots fired.
At super sensitive.
Don't let Maya get involved in this. Uh-oh. She had a rough 24 hours.
Oh, did she?
Although she went to OKC. Happened? She goes to OKC for the game,
mm-hmm.
and she and Adam Clanton have beef. And so she's boycotted. She used to call in every postgame show. She doesn't call in anymore because they have such beef, and she's taken it personally to the point where she just isn't going to call in anymore. And he decided to just call her out anyway and say things like he wouldn't going to take her call. And she blasted the hell out of him on Twitter.
Ooh, So what's the beef about?
I don't, because I used to always say ladies first,
right,
we do here.
Right.
I'd take her first and get her take as she was leaving in her car from the building at home games and things like that. And she told me he intentionally leaves her on hold. When he does get her on the air, he lets her think she's coming on there, then they hang up on her. It's kind of like just, childish stuff. But, I mean, you want fans to call in. So she got kind of upset about it. And
as she should.
Yeah. So it's gotten to the point where she tweeted... when was it, Nick? Last night, right after the game? And she got pretty specific in the fact that she said she sent him a direct message that basically said, you need to leave my name out of your mouth.
Oh!
I give her credit for it.
Oh!
She's not, at first I thought, she has the guts to go at anybody. I've seen her go at Clanton before, so. I mean, I was kind of shocked, but at the same time I wasn't, so. It's all good. I guess it's banter. On Twitter.
Somebody texted and said, Barry, that was so dirty. I can't lie, though. That was pretty funny how you let Nick take that L.
You enjoy that, sir. He's going to enjoy that for the next 2.5 hours.
I am. Michael Bennett just got traded. Did you guys know that?
Well, apparently going to Atlanta?
This is breaking news. The Seahawks are trading defensive end Michael Bennett to the Eagles, sources told NFL Network. Yeah. Ooh. Seattle sent Bennett and a 7th-round pick to Philly for a 5th-rounder and another player.
The Seahawks are cleaning house.
Yeah. So the texter brought that to my attention. I looked it up, and it is on NFL.com under breaking news that they've traded defensive end. Seahawks have traded defensive end Michael Bennett to the Eagles. So the rich get richer for the Eagles. But if you're this is the texter's next question after letting us know that. If you're Russell Wilson and you're seeing that Richard Sherman might be gone, they just traded Michael Bennett. You're going, hey, what's going on here? Are we thinking about rebuilding? What are we doing here? Are we going to sign some big names in the offseason? Is that why we're doing this? What's going on here, guys? I still have a career. I still have some tread left on the tires. I'm going to the front office and saying, what are we doing?
The rumor is Richard Sherman is going to get cut today.
Yeah.
They already traded Michael Bennett. There's a reason why Earl Thomas went to the Cowboys locker room after the game last year and said, I'd love to play here and I want to be here, because of the fact that the writing looks like it's been on the wall for quite some time. They cleared house on almost all their assistant coaches. They hired a new offensive coordinator. They're hiring all new coaching staff. And it looks like they're cleaning the cupboards and starting over, pressing the reset. If you're Russell Wilson, how good does that make you feel? If you're Jimmy Graham, who we talked about yesterday, and you're a free agent,
yep.
How much do you want to go back there?
Well, I think it depends, right?
For him, it's probably money still, but you still want to win.
Yeah, you do. But what I'm saying is you don't know if these moves are being made. It's not uncommon in the NFL to take guys that are kind of long in the tooth with a lot of money on the books and either move them, cut them, or get rid of them to bring in younger guys that might be a step faster or as good but cheaper. So it just depends. If they don't replace them with anything good, if they just stand pat and maybe promote a guy from the practice squad, then if you're Russell Wilson, you're going, yo, what's up here? I'm running out of time, guys. I'm wanting to win now. So
I'll tell you what, I'd take Earl Thomas and I'd take Richard Sherman. So if they're going to clean the cupboard, if you're the Houston Texans, Earl Thomas is a Rockets fan. I know it for a fact. Earl Thomas spends time in Houston in the offseason. If there isn't a way to get him to Dallas or they don't have the money or for whatever reason, if you are the Texans, you better damn well find out if there's a chance, because that guy would be a huge help for your team. I don't care. I think I said this to you guys in the production meeting. There should be 31 teams in this league if Earl Thomas is out there that goes, I would take that dude tomorrow.
Well, they needed it. That's a position of need for them. Yeah.
Richard Sherman, too. Cornerback. Kick the tires.
That entire secondary is a position of need for them. There's no spot in that secondary that they could not get better at. So I'm with you. Yeah. Hell, if you could get both of those guys, Richard Sherman, I would do that.
As we said, you know, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. All eyes on Gain. You want to make an impression? Go get one or two of those guys and go, well, now we are talking. There's some additions down on Kirby.
Question is, I was trying to look it up real quick because we know Malcolm Butler nailed.
Yep.
Sherman, I believe, kneeled as well.
Well, they were doing all the different things.
So there goes that. You're not going to be able to do that now.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
So that's the breaking news that we just got. Thank you, Texter, for alerting us to that so I could look it up and validate that, yes, apparently, according to the NFL website, the Seahawks plan on trading Michael Bennett to the Eagles.
Jeez.
There you go.
Crazy stuff.
Moving and shaking. All right, guys. You know what? Speaking of moving and shaking, some of you guys out there are like, man, I need to get out of this house I'm in. I need to move out of this house. I need to sell my house. I need to get that cash, and I need to get it fast. If that's you, if you're hearing my voice and you're saying, I need to sell my house, I need money, then I want you to call Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100. Give them a call. Let them help you, man. The folks at Gulf State, they're great. They handle everything for you. They show you how to sell your home in a stress-free way. Like, it couldn't be easier. They take care of everything. They have a great professional staff that's ready to help you. They have everything you need. They have attorneys, title companies. Everything that's involved in the process, Gulf State Home Buyers takes care of for you. So you sit back, relax, you get cash at the end of the transaction, and you get out of that home that you've been trying to get out of for a while now. And it doesn't matter why you're trying to get out of it, whether you've got back taxes that you just can't afford anymore, HOA dues, divorce, bankruptcy, unemployment. Maybe you went through the floods with Harvey and you don't want to rebuild. You don't want to live there anymore. You want to move somewhere else. Call Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100. They're going to come out. They're going to evaluate your home, and you're under no obligation to take that cash offer, but they're going to give you one, and then from there, you can make a decision that's best for you and your family. 281-717-6100 is the number to get in touch with Gulf State Home Buyers. Give them a call. Let them help you. They couldn't be easier to use or more friendly or more professional. It's Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
Pink, it's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rest assured, Seahawk fans, your defense will be stabilized in mere hours, if not days. Brian Cushing is visiting Seattle this week. So who needs Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, and the Legion of Boom? You have the Legion of Drug Testing.
Yeah, I'm not excited if I'm a Seattle fan and I'm swapping out Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett for Brian Cushing. No, thank you.
I'll pass. Yeah. Other news happened last night. 16 in a row in the books. Your Rockets now have the longest winning streak of this season, tied with Boston. They can top that streak of the Celts tonight in Milwaukee as they take on the Greek Freak and the Bucks. Last night's game, not what I was hoping for, because I would like to have at least have thought, based on the fact that I picked OKC, I thought they would win. OKC didn't even show up. I mean, you talk about a whole big steady dose of quit. Russell Westbrook looked like James Harden of a couple years ago. Their whole team couldn't defend.
He was very passive. I didn't understand. Again, I didn't see the first half, but I know in the second half, watching that game, I'm thinking to myself, man, that's not the Russell Westbrook that I'm used to seeing. Why is he being so passive? Why is he? I don't know. It was,
he got two other stars, and he needs to be a little more passive. I'd like to give the Rockets more credit. I don't know if the OKC didn't show up. I think the Rockets just beat them because they did put 112 points on the Rockets. So, I mean, he can't be the Russell Westbrook of years before. He can't.
To me, they put closer to 100 and, 103, 105, because that last 30 seconds where they were, or not 30 seconds, but when they started doing that hack a cappella, they were going two for ones, and they really, that's when they kind of made it close, and that was a lot of garbage points that they were getting in that regard. So I think overall defensively, I mean, when you look at points by quarter, the first half they scored, 45 points? It was that fourth quarter, OKC scored 38 points. And that was a lot of that because they extended the game by fouling and dragging it out in that last 30, 45 seconds of the game.
It was already over by then, too.
Their quarters, 24, 21, and 29. I thought the Rockets played pretty decent. That's a good defense.
Especially when Harden only took three threes. He's been averaging 10.
Yeah.
Made one of three. But I'll tell you what.
As a team, 17 to 33. How about
Gerald
Green?
Range. Plays 15 minutes, still got seven trays up, finally made two. Dude has no conscience. None. And you know what? Half the time, it's one thing to be off balance or take him quickly. His feet are like glued. Their heels are glued together. You got no stabilization in your base. You're not squaring your shoulders. And then he's scratching his temple going over to the bench like, why did I miss that? How much time you got? I mean, you might want to straighten it out.
I missed the first half, but if you look at the numbers, hot box score take, I actually watched the second half. Yeah. 32 points, 15 of 27, 56%.
Who?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like, to me, it was the Paul George show. He seemed very passive to me, so. He put up 32, but it was a quiet 32, it felt like, to me.
It was. And here's the other thing, and Nick, you were tweeting about PG-13. The big thing to me was, we even had some of our listeners tweeting in saying, look, very sneakily, OKC's defense has been pretty good, especially of late. OKC's defense last night was horse bleep. I mean, you could see it on some of the replays. Not only did Westbrook have a whole tank full of quit, but then guys would go down the lane, and it was a layup drill, and the weak side helped. One time it was supposed to be George coming from the left and Steven Adams coming from the right, and Melo finally lit up Steven Adams of the two guys he picked on the guy that's easier to pick on. But neither guy did what they were supposed to do, step up and stop the layup and protect the rim.
It's funny. The first play of the second half was just like that. When the Rockets came out, Chris Paul just got a wide open layup because Westbrook switched off the ball and no one guarded CP3. And it was kind of one of those things where they would have big lapses at the wrong moment on defense. What I found interesting, though, is I was looking at the kind of the box score page. In the two games that the Rockets have played the Thunder have put up 112 exactly in both games. The difference is the Rockets scored 122 this time around, 107 last time. Also, the difference, CP3 didn't play the last time and played this time, and I thought he has pretty
player
significant impact on the game.
Yeah, my opinion, player of the game, and he was making deep threes too. Not only was he making his threes, but three of those things were from like outer limits.
Yeah,
and knocking them down with no rim.
Yeah, I mean, look at him and be like, why is he taking that shot? This is not a Chris Paul shot, and then he makes it.
You're like, oh, let me be quiet.
Yeah. So how about this? Jonathan Fagan, the beat writer for the Chronicle, tweeted this last night, but Chris Paul had made 22.9% of his threes in his previous nine games. 5 of 6 from deep last night. That was definitely a key. Then the two stats that really stuck out for me besides the whole lot of quit on Russell Westbrook. One, TNT puts up the graphic. When Westbrook shoots 17 times or less, the Thunder are 14-2. When he shoots 18 times or more, they're 22-25.
Wow.
He's also the worst on-the-run three-point shooter in the league of any player shooting at least 100 of them during the season. at less than 22%.
On the run? What the hell is
like
that?
Like you're coming up on the fast break in transition.
Like a three-point hook shot? Like
no,
mine?
You're, you know, I mean, you're my crossing, you know, shot? You got the ball, you're pushing the tempo, you're in transition.
Pull up and
pop
it.
And you just pull up and okay. pop it. He's the worst shooter in the league, and he keeps on jacking. There were so many times that they were trying to keep it around 10 or 9 going into the fourth quarter. He just took so many bad shots last night, too. That was discouraging for a guy that I thought always has the tenacity and fire that I wish more players had. He had a whole lot of quit in him last night. That was okay. bad.
Yeah. The other thing, I hate to say this because I've been so anti-players only.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad. From what Which I heard part? In the second half.
The play-by-play?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, it was Brent Berry, Derek Fisher, and Nate
Robinson.
Nate yeah. Robinson. I got to say, I didn't mind it. I'm usually pretty sensitive to that and thinking, oh, God, this has no polish. Brent Berry wasn't bad as the main play-by-play guy, and yeah. I thought what Derek Fisher and Nate Robinson added was enough.
Yeah, I was shocked to see them in the. I didn't hear it because I was in B-dubs watching it, so I didn't really hear the play-by-play. But I was shocked to see the three of them together because I don't remember ever seeing them together.
Yeah.
And Brent Berry, does he have play-by-play?
No, that's what I don't like.
Well, he's been a color analyst for most of his career, right?
Right.
It wasn't bad. I mean, you can tell that he had been around it enough to know.
I don't think Joe likes it. What do you think?
The mechanics.
I gave him his start in the business. I gave both the Berries. Berry boys, John and Brent, their start. And I think they're Ooh. Great at being analysts.
Yeah.
But I think as a play-by-play guy, I will give you this. From a Berry perspective, they're intelligent guys. So they've watched enough to know on TV, you don't have to give every detail of and describe every movement on the court because the screen does that for you. So from that perspective, he's easier to digest because he's not over-talking. But And I did like the fact that Nate Robinson could laugh at himself when he screwed up a drop-in or something like that, and they
yes.
had some fun.
He was like, my bad, that was a turnover.
Yep.
Got to put that behind you and keep moving. Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah, so there is some good stuff there. I think Greg Anthony has really worked at his play-by-play, and it's gotten better. But that's the one area where I really struggle is just the fact that, you know, when you're used to watching a national broadcast with a Kevin Harlan or, you know, a Mike Breen, I love Bones Berry, but I just, as a play-by-play guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I've usually tuned away when I had an option, but I didn't mind it, which surprised me because usually, you know me, I'm going to come in here and be like, yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't watch the second game with Mikhail and everybody, but so I don't know how well.
I think Mikhail just loves the fact that he doesn't have to dress up. On players-only games, he's wearing jeans and tennis shoes
yeah.
and a jacket and an unbuttoned shirt, and he's like, being his size, he hates having to wear a suit anyway, so he's like, oh, yeah, I might even not even comb my hair tonight because he's got the mop rolling these days too. He's got some
really.
He's got some heavy locks on the melon.
Nice.
He's chilling. But yeah,
good for coach.
Look, bottom line is 16 in a row is nothing to sneeze at. Plus, it's their second streak that's gotten over 14 games. Definitely the cream of the crop of the regular season in the NBA. I just don't think there's any other way to slice it. So they, you know.
So are they going with 17? Are they going to make 17?
Yeah, easily. I've watched Milwaukee play too much, and I know they're at home, and I know the Rockets are on a back-to-back, but the game was easy for the Rockets last night. They rested enough guys. Even if Joe Johnson, who has an illness, is questionable tonight, Anderson's not expected to play. Who cares? Milwaukee just doesn't have any kind of structure offensively. They're still kind of a crapshoot on trying to run, and they're going to – the difference between the two teams is Milwaukee is running – but don't know where to run to,
mm-hmm.
and they're taking on the best running team in the league.
The only thing that concerns me
okay.
about losing this game is the fact that it is what you just said, the back-to-back. Nene probably isn't going to play, which means Tarik Black is going to have to pick up some of the slack there.
Not necessarily.
If they go small, I know they can go with a small lineup, and what they call it... They had when PJ Tucker was on there. They had a name for that lineup, which I thought was pretty funny.
PJ Tucker is like the five. And
yeah,
then,
they called it something like I don't remember. Dang it! I wish I could remember what
they
called
it. I don't
remember either. But it was pretty funny. But that's the only thing that concerns me is you're on a back to back with some guys that are coming off some injuries. They've been a bit banged up. Now you know Capella only played 27 minutes, so he's probably going to play quite a bit more. But I don't. Tarik Black.
Here's the thing: you don't have to worry about it tonight. Milwaukee doesn't have a center.
Yeah, okay.
Zeller? No.
Okay.
John Henson? No.
I hope so.
They're not going to have to worry about it. I've watched them enough. They really have. They are a donut with nothing in the middle.
Really?
So, yeah, okay. They won't have to worry about that.
That's a good
tonight.
Song, Nick.
Yeah, another one. Really Nick, good boy, song. Your list is solid.
I'm so upset about the Amber thing now because Barry's rubbing it in my face for the entire show, I know.
No, I just said this is
and
a good
I was
song.
Impressed was a, with my list.
This,
I
it was a too. Badass list.
Dang it.
It was a great list.
The minute you emailed it, I was like, oh, Nick's going at it this week.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he's got a chance to. Oh, no, he doesn't.
Just as quick as he's going at it, he's going out because that was the first hour of the show. And
who's up next? Joel?
Whatever. Y'all pick.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't bother me.
I'll go last. I haven't gone last in a while. I'll go last.
Joel's up next.
Okay, so there you have it. Way back Wednesday on the usual suspects. We've got an hour in the books and two more still to go. So please feel free to join the big show. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. You can call. You can text. Hit us on Twitter as we check those as well throughout the show. Back with hour number two. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.